There's some psalms, chapters of psalm that are considered royal psalms. I don't know if you've heard that before, but some of the royal psalms is Psalm 93 and chapters 95 through 99. These chapters means as the king. As a king. God is the king of everything, and these chapters are devoted to that topic. One chapter that we're going to review today is Psalm 98. For the Feast of Trumpets, we're going to look at Psalm 98 and how it correlates with this feast. It has dual meaning. During that time period, the Israelites were held in captivity, if you remember, for 70 years. They were in slavery by the king of Persia. The king released them out of slavery to go back to their homeland. And this psalm was written to show appreciation of being freed from slavery. The restoration of the Israelites. It has dual meaning, as I mentioned. It also spiritually means that this psalm is a prophecy of events to come. The return of our Savior Jesus Christ, the Feast of Trumpets. So I broke this down into four points today. Broke this chapter into four sections. Point one is God makes his people safe. God makes his people safe. And we'll read through verse 1 through 3 of how this makes his people safe. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. This is where the Lisa and Laura came in today singing to God. Very appreciative for their talent in music and in voice. Let's turn to chapter 96, verse 1. Of Psalm 96, 1 through 3. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. When Christ returns, we're going to sing a new song. It won't be a song from our hymnal. It won't be a song that we've known since childhood. As we see in Scripture, it's going to be a new song. Our hearts and minds will be opened. Let's turn to chapter 33, verse 3. Psalm 33, verse 3. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. As we had mentioned, this will be a new song. One that we have not sung before. We will sing joyfully to God the Father, to Christ our brother. When we meditate and think and sing to God the Father, it's hard to have sin on our mind. When we sing to God the Father and to Jesus Christ, our minds are joyful. They're thankful. They're grateful. Concentrating on God the Father and Christ the Son. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 1. You may want to keep a marker there for Psalm 98. We will be back for the rest of the chapter. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. Jump down to verse 16 and 17. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all things in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. During this time period, when Christ returns, we will have a new song. We are to have the words, the thought process of Christ in our minds. Let's turn over to Revelation 5, verse 8. Revelation 5, 8 through 10. The title was, Worthy is the Lamb. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, as we shall reign on earth. So we read that even the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before Jesus Christ and sang a new song. Christ has done so much for us that we will sing a new song to Jesus Christ, as we see here in Revelation as well. Our hearts and minds will be open to God, and we will be filled with the words and the music of new songs to sing to the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 98, verse 1. For he has done marvelous things. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he has done marvelous things. When we think about the things that Christ has done, we know he's performed many miracles. He brought his friend Lazarus back from the dead. He healed a blind man. Of course, we know the story of he walked on water, and Peter tried to walk on water and lacked faith and began to sink. Christ healed a man with cerebral palsy. He raised a man's daughter from the dead. Christ did marvelous things that proved he was the Son of God. The miracles strengthened people's faith that he is the true Son of God. Jesus Christ had performed astonishing acts throughout time. Verse 1, it says, His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. You ever thought what that means? His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory? There are multiple examples in Scripture of God using His arm. The arm is a symbol of power to direct the affairs of mankind. Generally, Scripture refers to arm of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. Let's turn for an example in Exodus 6, 6 and 7. Exodus 6, verse 6 and 7. And this is God speaking to Moses saying, I am the Lord. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. This is Christ speaking to Moses about releasing them from slavery from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. One of many examples. Let's turn to Isaiah 48, 12 and 13. Isaiah chapter 48. And we will read 12 and 13. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. As we have just read, the right hand and the arm are very poetic in identifying our Messiah. As we read, it's a holy arm. A holy arm performs acts of righteousness. The right hand is also a place. It's a physical place. Hebrews 10, verse 12, says that Christ sat down at the right hand of God. This is where Christ resides, with the Father being at the right hand. The highest honor that anyone could achieve. Christ won. In this scripture it says, Christ is victorious. Why does it say he's victorious? Well, we know that he did conquer Satan as a physical human being. Christ took a beating. He died for our sins. Christ accomplished everything that he started out to do. Christ is victorious. Turn back to Psalm 98, verse 2. The Lord has made known his salvation. The Lord has made known his salvation. Christ has always had a plan of salvation laid out through the holy days and have been kept by God's people from the very beginning. Christ came on earth as a carpenter preaching salvation and describing the kingdom of God. Many thought Christ was crazy. They denied Christ. But he still sacrificed his life for each and every one of us. His desire is for all of us to repent and to be baptized. Verse 2 says, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of nations. Millions upon millions have read about the life of Christ. Bibles have been translated into numerous languages. Gospel has been spread throughout the world and has continued to be spread throughout the world. This is the day that Abraham rejoiced to see. This is the day that David prophesied when he said, all the nations that you have brought into being will come and fall down in adoration in your presence, Lord, and glorify your name. Verse 3 of Psalm 98, he has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. He has remembered his mercy and faithfulness to the house of Israel. God has recalled his promise of mercy to his people. We know that God will keep his word. He is the God of truth. Let's turn to Luke 1, verse 59. Luke 1. We'll start in verse 59. This speaks about the birth of John the Baptist. Verse 59, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias, which was tradition. Verse 60, his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So it raised the flag, why would you call him John? So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote on the tablet the saying, his name is John. So they all marveled at this. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he has spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and for the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our fathers, Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. What a great story this is. John the Baptist was preordained by God to pave the way for Jesus Christ. John's father, who served in the temple, was used by God by such a little thing as writing John's name, prophesying, and also referencing Psalm 98, of remembering the mercy that the people were promised. Let's turn back to Psalm 98, verse 3. It speaks, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. John the Baptist also quotes this in Luke 3, verse 6. Once again, we speak of acts of Christ that the earth has witnessed, delivering the Israelites by opening the Red Sea, the pillar of a cloud, the pillar of fire, the manna appearing, spewing water from the rock that Abraham hit with his staff. Many, many acts that Christ performed for all of us to witness. Point two, is give honor and praises to God. We'll read this in verses 4 and 5. Give honor and praises to God. Verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with a harp, and the harp and the sound of psalm. We will be singing, playing instruments in all the lands, all nations to celebrate and honor Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 52:9, it says, break forth in joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. We will all be called together to worship God and praise and singing. How joyful will it be when Jesus Christ returns? We will see him with our very own eyes. In our lifetime, we've gone through trial after trial, and we have grown spiritually. God has selected us. And at that point, when we see Jesus Christ returns, hopefully we figured out that we've made the cut. Christ is before us, before our very own eyes, and we're changed to spirit beings. During this time, I would say we'll be joyful, singing and playing music. It will be the most amazing thing to ever happen. Point 3. The trumpet sounds and Christ returns as the King. Verses 6 through 8. The trumpet sounds and Christ returns as the King. Verse 6. With trumpets and the sound of a horn, also translated as a cornet. We know that the trumpet was used for many purposes. To assemble for battle, the bugle was to charge. The trumpet was to summon God's people, saying it was time to break camp, it was time to move. It was used to announce the time to come together to worship the Lord during the holy days. It was used to announce the Jubilee year, a time when everybody was freed and their land was given back. Very joyful time. Trumpets was used to announce a new king. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let's turn to Revelation 19, verse 6. Revelation 19:6. We're just going to read this one verse. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. What a time to shout for joy. Our King, Jesus Christ, has arrived. The trumpet has sounded of his return. Peace on earth is imminent. It will happen. Turn back to Psalm 98, verse 7. It says, let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the sea roar. What does that mean exactly? And all its fullness. Well, at that time, at Christ's return, all of those billions of people that are living in sin, committing fornication, adultery, having abortions, murdering, shooting up with drugs, the agnostics, all of those sinful things in our society, those people will raise Cain at Christ's return. They will not want him on earth. They may view him as an alien. They will not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Think about the many other religions other than Christianity. The Muslims, the Buddhists, Hinduism, all other religions will not accept Jesus Christ. Speaking of the opposite, all who follows Christ will roar joyfully and be so grateful that the time has finally arrived. Verse 8, let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. This section of Scripture is poetic, as we had mentioned earlier. It's beautiful words. The rivers, as if it people, will join us in universal praise by clapping hands. The mountains, the hills, also joyful. All nature, when we think about Jesus Christ, will be better off after the return of Christ. Mankind has polluted earth. We drill for natural resources. We push chemicals into the land. We have a lot of emissions due to our travel. We are slowly destroying the earth. The waters and the hills will be better off after Christ returns, and he shows us a better way to live. Who will make America great again? It will be Christ. He will make the whole earth great again. Point 4. All will be judged from the least to the greatest. Verse 9. All will be judged. It's hard to believe around 1100 BC, during the time of David, you think about it, approximately 3,300 years ago, during the time of David, this prophecy was being read of the return of Christ, the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 9, For he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity, from the very least of us to the greatest on the earth. Everyone will know Christ and will be judged according to our deeds. All nations will come before the throne of Christ for judgment. Saints shall receive their reward. There will be no more wickedness. For the last scripture, let's turn to Revelation 1, verse 4. Revelation 1, 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even though they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The end time is coming, brethren. It is time for us to prepare for the event that this day is prophesying. The event of the return of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.